The Curtain Call Community Theater was founded back in 2004, and they produced Fame, the musical. And since then, their edgy repertoire has included such productions as Cabaret, Guys and Dolls, Sweeney Todd, Reefer Madness, and most recently, Chicago. And until the fall of 2012, they've only produced summer shows. But beginning on Sunday, October 28th, and running through Halloween night on the second floor of D.B. Searles, they'll be taking St. Cloud on a strange journey into a sensual daydream to be treasured forever with their first fall production. It's not a hunting lodge for rich weirdos. It's not the Transylvania you may well know. It's a production crawling with creatures of the night, with Brad and Janet lingering in the background as Magenta greets us on center stage with her phantoms attending her every whim.
We're glad you could come tonight. Michael Rennie was ill the day the earth stood still, and he told us where we stand. And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Faye Ray and King Kong. They got caught in a celluloid jam.
Why don't we just maybe kind of go around and you guys can introduce yourselves and what role you are playing with this production of Rocky Horror.
All right. My name is Mackenzie Laren and I play Columbia.
I'm Mandy Siemens and I'm Magenta.
I'm Charles Engelsjord and I play Dr. Frankenfurter.
I'm Adrian Donnell and I play one of the Phantoms.
I'm Christina Jameson and I'm stage manager.
I'm Johnny Packard and I'm the director.
My name is Anthony Lockhart, and I play the narrator.
Well, so some people are very familiar with the movie, maybe not the play, but people are familiar with this. But for folks who aren't, what is generally going on with Rocky Horror? It's not the Rocky Horror Picture Show, is it? So what is the distinction between Rocky Horror and the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Well, I think Picture Show is, I mean, that's the movie version. But it was originally the Rocky Horror Show, and then they turned it into a movie.
Mm-hmm. Stage show, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Several of the cast members from the original West End production and later the Broadway production, Tim Curry and Little Nell, the rock star of the time, went on to do the movie as well when it was adapted, and they changed the name to Picture Show. The stage show has a few differences. Some differences in the story. It's easier to follow, that's for sure. It makes more sense. It's not, oh, what? Meatloaf?
Where did he come from?
Where did Meatloaf come from?
Oh my, what isn't going on here? Basically, the plot is, you know, these aliens from another planet, transsexual Transylvania, came to our planet to discover a way to procreate. And Dr. Frankenfurter and his experiments just got a little too far. He started creating the perfect man, and it's a very sexy, sensual love fest.
And there are also these two 1950s American mm-hmm. characters. Just they could be kitsch on top of a cake.
Yeah.
Brad and Janet, who, you know, they're two kids out on a stormy night, and they get caught up in this mad world of sex and science and mayhem, and it's a wonderful play on the themes of America at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, it's so funny because, you know, you're so familiar with the show, and then when you sit down and tell people the plot, you're like, oh, this really is what? Weird.
Like, where do you begin?
Oh, yeah, what am I saying?
Before I really got into looking at this history of this show, when I found out that we were doing the show, I had seen the film a few times, and I didn't really know it was about aliens. I had no... Yeah. It just sort of happened.
Not really clear about it.
You probably need like a half an hour just to explain the show.
Yeah.
So what is it about? Really? Where?
The music's really good, and there's lots of sex. Oh, it's amazing. It's
a great sensuality.
Family show. Yeah. There we go.
The best way to know the show is to see the show.
Yes. Well, one of the things I... or a similarity, I guess you could say, between this and another movie, I guess, of well, not necessarily that genre, but it kind of reminds me of The Addams Family, where there's this, yes, it's horror, but yes, there's this positivity. It's like a celebration of the, well, not really macabre, but something, you know?
And with Addams Family, they had that, you know, that the polarity of the characters. I mean, they had the stereotypical 1950s virginal girl in Marion. I think that was her name. Sorry. I was born in the 80s, kid. They had that stereotypical virginal character up against these completely whacked out horror movie cliches. And with the Rocky Horror Show, we've got a similarity there in that it's just these two virginal, pure 1950s conservatives. And they're up against the epitome of sex and exploitation.
Which is amazing.
Sexploitation.
Well, and we all get to have fun being
so
the sensuality alien monsters. but imagine the discomfort of Brad and Janet. And imagine being thrust into that world and being played against everything that you've been taught. Being thrust. Thank you, Mandy. Yes, being thrusted into everything that you've been taught to fight against. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's like everything which is like sin or a gateway towards it is just...
And I think that's part of the attraction to the fan base of the Rocky Horror Show or the Picture Show. I had my first experience going to one of the big showings of the Rocky Horror Picture Show at over in Uptown 2 years ago on Halloween. And it's really a let your freak flag fly sort of scene. It really is. And we're very excited because we are those people, and those people are going to be coming to this show.
I know, and it's the time for, like, 60-year-olds to come out in their fishnets.
Oh,
and it's
totally
like, I mean, it is such a cult classic.
That's the nice thing about this show, too, is that it's a show for everyone. I mean, as messed up as that is, as long as you're 18, you can come see this show. But, I mean, let your freak flag fly. I mean, if you want to be yourself, there's no expectation of who you are. You know, you can just be here. And I love that. Because we are that, you know. Mm-hmm. All walks of life coming together to put on this show.
A lot of garter belts going on.
Oh, lots. A lot of that.
Oh, I think I'm making, Jeannie and I are making, like, what, 8 garter belts?
And a lot.
Including for Frank. And it's been awesome making costumes and working with
very little fabric.
Yes. Small bits of fabric artistically placed here and there.
Exactly.
let's see. What else? Where else should we go? Well, okay. So for those of have you all seen the movie? I guess. Well, like in a theater setting, I guess I should say.
No. I've seen it on the stage last year, and it was freaking awesome.
Was that the Don Shelby one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh, nice.
I wish I could have seen that, yeah.
We love you, Don Shelby.
Well, the reason I ask, I guess, I don't know, are you guys going to do like that kind of audience participation
Yes.
Oh, God. Yes. Yes.
Strongly encourage it.
We will be selling participation kits for $5, and that $5 goes back to us to pay for costuming, to pay for set design, any kind of things that we might need production-wise. So we'll be selling those at the door, along with tickets. And I think we might be selling them with biology this week. I'm not sure.
Cool.
But $5 gets you a lot of stuff. Yeah. A lot of stuff.
Well, you want to run that down for folks. Because some people, especially if you've just seen the movie, not in a theater. Because I'd seen the movie. I was born in the 70s. You know, so I'd seen the movie, but then I actually saw the movie when I was 18 and down in Iowa City and just going like, what the hell is going on? And so, I don't know, you want to run down what the participation kits might entail.
Well, with our participation kits that we're selling, we'll be including a little squirt gun in there, a balloon, flashlights or glow sticks, rubber gloves, newspaper, playing cards, sponges, and maybe some other secret stuff that you might have to wait to see. But we're also encouraging audience participation through shout-outs, too.
Do your research.
Google. I mean, really, there's literally a saying for every single line that is in this show. Some of it can get a little racy.
Yes.
And we definitely don't discourage that. You know, go for the gold. Have fun.
Yeah, make it your goal to make one of us break here.
Oh,
whenever you get asked all the time, just around, do you have any stories about like when a wall fell down on you, or when your lighter wouldn't light on stage, or like those? Everybody wants to hear the theater horror story, you know, things like that. And I think one that I really will just keep with me for the books is we were doing a rehearsal, and one of our cast members did one of the shout-outs. And we hadn't done too much working with those just yet, but they shouted it out, and I stopped, and I was so angry. I thought my process was being disrupted. I thought this person was being a child.
I am the floor.
I was pissed. And I stopped and turned and looked at him, and he was like, no, that's going to happen. That's one of the things you have to be prepared for. And I was so happy that it did, because if that were an audience, you know, like, I think I might have stopped, and it would have been one of those Christian Bale moments.
Like, get out of the way of the camera.
That's what it would have been. But no, it's fun to play with the shout outs, and it's a challenge as a performer to keep going, to continue to perform on stage, and to be performing with, in a way, a live audience.
Yeah.
You work with an audience, and timing is different, and it's a little bit of improv every night in how you're going to respond.
And with this show, too, the seating is going to be at tables, so we're going to be kind of in and out of the audience and stuff, and we may touch you or grab you.
The audience is definitely a part of the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we didn't have our audience there, it's a completely different show. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, I imagine some of the audience members might know the show better than you guys.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yep.
There are some hardcore fans out there.
And I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Yep.
Oh, I am too. Mm-hmm. Yep. You said your line, Mom.
That's not how that goes.
And some of those fans will be, if they have gone to the live showings at theaters but haven't gone and seen the actual stage production, they will maybe think that some things are wrong or not what they're used to, because there are differences. There are differences.
Yeah, I don't think you guys are going to get a motorcycle up on the second floor of Davy Searle's.
We might surprise you. You never know. Vroom, vroom.
I can see a big wheel now.
Damn it! We spray painted a trike.
I know how your mind works.
You totally do.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KVSC, and in today's news feature, we're sitting down with the cast and the director of the Rocky Horror Show, as put on by the Curtain Call Community Theater on the second floor of DB Searle's, beginning October 28th and running through Halloween. Curtain Call Community Theater is known for its more edgier take in its approach to bringing theater to St. Cloud, and the Rocky Horror Show is certainly no exception. as probably one of the sexier and more sensual productions to ever have graced St. Cloud. The Rocky Horror Show is either 18 plus for early shows at 7:30 or 21 plus for late shows at 10:30. And now we jump back into the warm waters of conversation and a discussion with a young man who has donned the impossible garters of Frankenfurter as he gives us his take on what it means to don't dream it, be it.
We haven't mentioned the fact that Charlie is 18. Yes. He's our youngest cast member. And he is playing Dr. Frankenfurter, who is a transvestite from the planet Transylvania.
Local right? Boy Charles Engels.
It's my favorite line to open up with when I'm meeting new people. Hey, I'm playing a transvestite from the planet transsexual in the quadrant Transylvania. Want to hang out later?
Yes. I mean, when he took his robe off last Wednesday, and we got to see little Charlie in fishnets and 6-inch heels. It was awesome.
Life-changing. It was the first reveal of the full costume, and the response was spectacular.
Well, yeah, the energy of that performance that night was amazing.
Well, you're talking about the energy of it, and you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier. Just there's this certain. I don't even want to say release, that's not quite it, but this certain...
I would say release.
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. Oh, and the titular character, Rocky, our darling Beefcake Joe, who sometimes, you know, rips his shirt off.
Should never get pulled off.
Sometimes one-handed.
Okay, by the way, I think that he carries extra t-shirts with him at all times. Because he's always ripping them off. Which we're okay with.
Well,
okay,
when he did that, though, the rehearsal just the other day, it was seriously like... little girls.
All of the women in half the men.
Justin Bieber just showed up for a 12-year-old's birthday party.
We loved it.
I literally shrieked. I was taken aback by the beauty. But yeah, the idea of Rocky is Dr. Frank has, in his laboratory experiments, created the perfect man physically. He just this muscle god who is carries the Charles Atlas seal of approval and is the kind of man, you know, the 1950s Mr. Universe poster man, Arnold Schwarzenegger, before politics got to his waistline.
And
Joe definitely fits the mold of that.
Yeah, and he's also kind of naive as well. He brings another kind of naivety to it.
Well, he's like a baby. I mean, he was just born.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he doesn't quite understand. And his innocence, and it's just so adorable because he's this big, manly guy who is so, naive.
Well, and he wasn't made to be the brightest bulb in the factory.
Well, no, because that's what makes him the perfect man.
Yeah.
Seriously, we should talk about Joe this whole time, really. I know. When you see him, it's like he's not even real.
He's very well sculpted.
We were very lucky to find him. Very lucky.
I started working out with him because we went to the same gym. And first day, he just flat out benches 400 pounds.
I'm having a totally different reaction to that.
Right now.
Even though we're sitting, we're giving you a standing ovation.
Oh my god.
This is the feel of the show.
No, really. No. I mean, it's perfect.
Nah, let's take it from the angle of maybe, you know, it's science fiction horror and that cheesy, well, the very first song, they're listing all those different things, and there are references in that song that I make some of those references, and people have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I still don't get it.
I went through on Wikipedia, and I had the lyrics of the song, and I had Wikipedia, and I was like, Forbidden Planet, Charles Atlas, King Kong, like Faye Ray, when did King Kong happen? RKO, what's it about?
What about eating prunes and getting the runes?
I still don't know about that one.
Or the Day of the Triffids. There's this joke I make about our CD vault down at KVSC. Mm-hmm. It's got these big shelves that move. They're huge. And you know, I looked at that first time I saw it. I'm just like, it's like Day of the Triffids. And no one has any idea what I'm talking about. I'm like, really? Some of you guys are older than me and you don't get this? I don't know. But yeah, there's that vibe. So it's like there is horror going on, but there's not.
Richard O'Brien was just such a huge, huge fan of those 1950s celluloid films. This was really his love child, his passion play, where he got to throw just all of his favorite things. Any writer, for those of us that also write, any writer has all of these little things that they keep in their back pocket. Actors do it too, like, oh, I can't wait to play this character. You know, I want to be Katharine Hepburn. That'll probably never happen. We all have those things, and I think Richard O'Brien's was definitely like an homage to the film culture of the 1950s. It was such a different event back then. It was still exciting and new, and let's all go to the lobby. You know, we don't have that anymore. It's different now.
Yeah, now they don't want you in the lobby. No. So, you're sitting there in front of the screen, and they're throwing advertisements at you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Get the hell out of the lobby.
The cool thing about all of the cultural references that this show has is that, I mean, if you look at the two movies in specific, Shock Treatment and the Rocky Horror Picture Show, I mean, they are just chock full of cultural references. And they are the worst of the worst B-movies ever. So when you listen to the lyrics of Science Fiction Double Feature, it's like, it is running down. And it's a basic cultural reference in itself, which is so meta, and I love it. You know,
a late night double feature picture show in the 50s and 60s was a two-for-one bargain movie. They were B-movies about claymation dinosaurs on tiny little sets and things like that that you could go see at two for the price of one at like 11. You could go see it for 2 cents, exactly. And have your Wrigley's, you know, like it was.
Oh, yeah. I remember back in the day, I had drive-in movies when I was growing up, and that was, you know, sometimes we'd have three. You know, that's, well, there's the night right there. You're sitting there in the car and catch maybe 2 out of the 3 movies. Yeah. So.
Oh, shit. You fit in well with this cat.
So when does this open then?
Sunday the 28th.
Sunday the 28th, and this will be second floor of D.B. Searles.
Yep.
And it runs through Halloween.
Yes. We're doing two performances, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. 7:30 p.m. is an 18-plus show, and the 10:30 p.m. show is a 21-plus show because it's in a bar. So if you're under the age of 21, you can still come see this show. It's got to be at a 7:30 show, but come see it because it's sexy fun for everyone.
That is. So basically, 18. We're not going to sleep for like 5 days.
True.
You have two shows a night.
Oh, good sleep.
Yeah. And that's, two shows a night for 4 shows in a row.
Yep.
So
it's kind of a high energy show.
Instead of the weekend.
Yeah. But what is going to be exciting is because of all the audience participation, I think every show is going to be completely different.
Yep. Yep.
And that will make it, we won't get sick of it. I'm not worried about that
no
at all.
No way we could. Mm-hmm. Shoot, we look forward to rehearsals. At least I do.
Mm-hmm. That's because we get to, not
watch each other.
There you go. Community theater at its finest, right there.
Give us your grant.
So speaking of which, what is next for Curtain Call Community Theater then? What do you guys got going on?
There are quite a few shows in the works. None that I'm at liberty to discuss right now. But keep your ears and eyes open, because there's lots of fun stuff coming your way.
But the one thing that Curtain Call, we kind of pride ourselves on, is the more racy type shows. Yeah, I don't think you're going to see us doing Velveteen Rabbit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, so what have you guys done in the past then?
We did Reefer Madness, the musical, which was a lot of fun. Chicago, most recently. In the past, we've also done
Sweeney Todd.
Yes.
Yep.
Bear.
Cabaret.
Cabaret was fun.
I know. I wish I could have been in that one.
I was. I was the MC.
Oh, that's where I live.
I forgot about that. That was amazing.
Thank you. The company, we really like to pride ourselves on shows that push the boundaries and the limits. So
I know on the audition forms it says, are you comfortable wearing barely any clothes?
And it's not just the scantily clad in terms of pushing the envelope. There was drug use, and it was more of a drama.
Well, and we had two boys kissing. I mean, that was a big deal.
St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Progressive every day.
We're getting there.
Slowly but surely.
Nice. Okay, so anything else anybody want to say about anything?
My boobs look amazing.
If you like seeing...
Everyone's going to leave hot and bothered.
No, really?
Yeah. If you are trying to start a family, if you just started working on it, or, you know, you got a new lady friend.
Or you're just feeling lonely.
And you're frustrated.
Or you want to spice up.
The world! Spice up your life.
And come and see the show.
But, yeah. You know, and it's also... You know, because we've been focusing on the scandalous depravity, but there's also, it's funny as hell.
Yeah, it's really funny.
It's funny, and the music is so awesome. It's really got everything, and then at the end, it's really, I mean, it's touching, and it really makes you think. It's really got everything, which is why I like the show so much.
Something that you can always see on the stage is the chemistry between characters in a show.
Yeah.
That is something that we have all experienced the good of and the bad of. This is one of those shows where you have a lot of people that have worked together very intimately in the past, a lot of people that have been friends before, people that haven't met each other or worked with each other, but in general, it's such a comfortable, organic group of actors, talented actors. It's not just naked people saying, look at my body.
Which would still be okay.
But, and I said that to Mandy the other day. I was like, thank God you're talented. Because otherwise everybody would just think that you're one beautiful body.
One thing I've got to say is that this is easily one of the most talented casts I've ever worked with.
Oh,
I mean, they're not just sexy, fun. It's seriously, this is...
Keep
funny,
what else?
Very talented. I'm so blessed to be working with such a great cast.
And you, I think the audience will really enjoy the fact that we are all having a blast on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And you can definitely see that. I mean, our rehearsals, we are just amazing.
It's fun.
It's a very intimate setting during rehearsals and just watching everyone get into their roles.
And the poor driving school is down the hall. We've got 15-year-olds like peeking through the window and we're not wearing, you know, we've got our fishnets and little black panties on and they're like, oh my God.
We definitely sparked some happy thoughts for some budding children.
Sweet, I have my permit.
So much driving.
We're gonna need a refresher course.
One of the goals of Curtain Call Community Theater is to bring progressive alternative theater to the area, and you know we've got family theater and we've got touring shows that come through, and this is definitely one of the shows that fits our mission to bring that alternative theater.
You can see some of the nice, you know, the local.
Exactly. And local, so, I mean, if you're someone, if you're, this is young, this is fresh, this is, but no, anyways, going back. It's fresh and new and exciting. And if you're someone that thinks, oh, I don't want to go to I don't want to go see a play, Shakespeare, like, you know, this is fun for everyone. Oh. Absolutely.
And you should definitely audition for a Curtain Call show because everyone can. I've met a lot of awesome people from doing community theater.
Definitely.
Crack the riding whip again.
Put your hands on your hips.
Never get easy to touch, but it's a pelvic.
ticket information for the Rocky Horror Show at D.B. Searles from Sunday, October 28th through Halloween evening can be found on the Pioneer Place website at pp5.com. More information on Curtain Call Community Theater, including upcoming shows and auditions, can be found on their website at www.curtaincallcommunitytheater.com. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting on arts and cultural heritage for KVSC News, and this report was made possible through funding from a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and it has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPRS, diverse radio for Minnesota communities.
You're there in the time slip. Nothing could ever be the same.